paper number two.
So our next paper we're going to talk about is, or the clinical question here is, what is the outcome for poor grade subarachnoid hemorrhage? The title of the paper here is Outcome After Hunt and Hess Grade 5 Subarachnoid Hemorrhage, a comparison of the pre-coiling era, 1980 to 1995, versus the post-ISAT era, 2005 to 2014.
And just, I was going to say, just remind me what the post-ISAT era is again.
Yeah, it's not the post-ISAT era.
I know it well,
era.
But I just want you to yeah. remind me.
So back in the Mesolithic age, there was a... No, I'm joking. So the ISAT was the International Subarachnoid Treatment Trial that was done back in... When was that? 2005. This was a randomized trial looking at clipping and coiling and effectively kind of modern treatment of subarachnoid hemorrhage. And really, that's what this paper is talking about. It's trying to compare outcomes for poor-grade SAH maybe back in the 80s versus more contemporary and modern treatment. This was published in the Journal of Neurosurgery, which I'm sure you'll read avidly, in 2017. And the lead author was Consala, and this was from Germany. To give a bit of background here, poor grade subarachnoid hemorrhage can be defined using your Hunt and Hess criteria. You can look these up in MD Calc or something like that, or the World Federation of Neurosurgeons scoring systems. Ultimately, a poor grade SAH means someone who is comatose with lots of blood in the brain. And there's different ways of defining that. For example, I looked this up in MD Calc before we came. Hunt and Hess 5. Which is what this paper is looking at, is comatose, showing signs of severe neurological impairment. Example, posturing. So you know those bits on the GCS and motor scale where it's decerebrate and decorticate and you can never remember which one's which? That's the type of patient you're talking about. So it could be from GCS 3, maybe up to around a GCS, maybe 5 or 6, maybe a 7, that type of thing. So people who are not doing well with their subarachnoid hemorrhage.
Yeah, grand. Ones that look bad with blood in their brain.
Yeah, and it's been commonly thought that someone with a grade 5 subarach is thought to have a 10% survival rate, okay? Never mind what their functional outcome might be, so you're talking 90% of these people die. And in my experience growing up, in Northern Ireland, I'm certainly working in Ireland currently, a lot of these were around the transfer to a centre for neurosurgery are kind of treated conservatively. In other words, stick them in ICU, do good neuro ICU, and we'll see what happens. If they do a bit better, then we'll proceed to doing intervention on the actual aneurysm. The contrast here is this group have been doing very aggressive early aneurysm treatment for 15 years now, and they're really just presenting their outcome data. So they would treat Hunt and Hess grade 5s with early and aggressive treatment, be that clipping or coiling, all that type of thing. So to give you a little bit of information on the actual patients studied here, they compared two groups, and this bit's probably a bit silly. They looked at historical data from a chart review, and there's no real methods in that.
Yeah,
they just kind of looked at
chart. This is questionable, isn't it?
Yeah, so if you're going to read this paper, you'll find it is quite dense. It's quite hard reading and hard to get through, but their way of obtaining the data of the historical patients isn't great. But they look back at them, and this is when they were treating their Hunt and Hess grade 5s with conservative management. And then the more recent data is actually from a prospective database. So in the past 15 years, they've been collecting prospectively all their data on current management of subarach. So it's much higher quality data. So automatic already, you can see they're probably comparing a little bit of apples and oranges. Mm. But ultimately, looking to see the difference here in survival and the modified Rankin scale of 0 to 2, because you're not looking just for patients to survive with these things, you're looking for them what their functional outcomes can be. And Dave, do you know what an MRS2 is?
I know that it's the modified Rankin score.
And that's it. So again,
I know that I'd rather have a 0 or 2 than a 3 or a 4.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So actually, the 2 isn't actually that bad. So the MRS2 is defined as slight disability, unable to carry out all previous activities, but able to look after own affairs without assistance.
That sounds better than me, generally.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's you had a bad day, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's what we're kind of looking for. I would consider that a good outcome if I'd had a...
If I had a grade 5 and I ended up like that, I'd shake their hand. I'd take
so
that.
MRS,
and it sounds like
MRS
I'd be able to as well.
Bad. Yeah, hopefully so. Anyway, that's a lot of talk. And let's talk a little bit about results. Back in the 80s, they had 50 patients who had a poor grade SAH that ended up in their centre. They only intervened on a quarter of them, and pretty much everybody did badly. No one had an MRS, 0 to 2. So it's bad outcomes in the 80s.
It's not exactly shocking that. I mean, you've got blood peeing out of an aneurysm into your brain, and you do nothing about it to turn off the tap, and you don't do well. Shocking.
Exactly. Not a surprise. So over the past 15 years, they had 200 patients in their recent group seizure hunt and Hess 5s treated aggressively. This was almost 20% of all their subarachnoids. So it's quite a lot. They intervened on the aneurysm in 3/4 of these, over half within 12 hours, which I thought was really impressive. Really getting in quickly. Half of them got clipped, half of them got coiled. And 25% of the patients of this 200 did well. So 23% of patients in this recent group treated aggressively for a Hunt and Hess grade 5 subarach had an MRS of 0-2, which I think is quite impressive.
That is very impressive.
Like, there's lots of issues with the data here. Now, you're definitely comparing apples and oranges. I don't think you should get too much into comparing it with the historical data. I think for me, the big take-home message here is a Hunt and Hess grade 5 treated aggressively in an experienced center has a 25% chance of obtaining an MRS of 0-2. And the big reason I chose this paper is that where I've been practicing, I've seen a number of patients with, say, GCS 3 or 4 or 5 with a large subarachnoid, and you have the discussion with neurosurgery about transfer, and understandably they feel the prognosis is so poor that you're better off going with neurocritical care to start with, and if they have some degree of neurological improvement, then they would move towards treating the aneurysm. And a lot of these guys obviously go on to die because they're continuing to bleed from their aneurysm, or they re-bleed early and they haven't had their aneurysm actually treated, they die. And so it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you assume these guys are going to do badly, then guess
what?
They do really badly.
Yeah.
And this was quite a surprise to me. Now, it may not be to other people. Other people may work in centers where this is not the case. But
Because I have to say, because that's when I was reading this, I was reading this thinking, well, obviously, why don't you do that? But then I realized the last two places I've worked in have been specialist neurological or neurosurgical centers where they do treat these things quite aggressively, and certainly the Alfred do it very, very aggressively, and neurosurgery there all the time just waiting for these.
I mean, it's not a straightforward issue. Like, I mean, I think we like to blame neurosurgeons for being terrible and having no kind of rational decision making, but this kind of therapeutic nihilism, I think, is everybody. I don't think there's any real tribalism here. I think we're guilty of this as well in certain scenarios.
Definitely.
And the other big thing that kind of hit me is that we need to be cognizant as healthcare professionals, we're always terrified of being dependent and having a severe stroke. In terms of our own perspective on our lives, in terms of what we consider quality of life, we're hugely negative about outcomes that result in significant disability. And we have to be careful that doesn't mean our patients feel the same way. And they, I mean, a 0-2 is a pretty good outcome, but there are a lot of patients who maybe be very happy with a 0-3. Being able to communicate to people perhaps that if we intervene aggressively here, we've got a 25% chance of an outcome with some disability, but not an awful disability. Maybe that would help with the conversation. Really, really difficult stuff. This is not something to go out and change your practice with, but I think you need to know this to kind of facilitate having proper discussion.